Hello everyone, The Other Mark here. Don't forget we have got our first ever live podcast on the 29th of June at the Ball Inn in Thorpe Eslet, that is in Rotherham. It's free admission and it starts at 4 p.m.
Ish.
Enjoy the episode.
Evening boys.
Evening Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm The Other Mark. 3 pints Sally. And what are you having?
I'll have a dirty banana.
Cheers. Offer to Mova.
Evening boys.
Evening Rob.
How are we doing?
All right. Are you?
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Are
you
all good? Hey, hang on. Yeah. You look as camp as Christmas. What's all that about?
I don't know why I did that. I just put my hands on my hips, didn't I?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you should have gone like that.
Yeah. Hiya!
Tits and teeth. It's well, all I mean, about tits and teeth. On.
Hiya! Yeah.
Hey, Rob, not long till you skydive. Are you still feeling nervous, excited? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was about to say, I'd forgotten about it until you said that.
Oh.
As soon as anybody says anything about it, I all of a sudden just get this nervousness that comes over me and it's like
brilliant. We're going to talk about it all episode
then. Well, I know Gemma's excited. She can't wait to push you out of that plane.
And the parachute not open.
Well, you're not even going to be wearing it.
I'm going to say she's not even going to give you one.
I'm just worried that they're going to make me pack it because that would not be a good thing. So if you've ever seen me put an awning away, no one wants to see me preparing a parachute.
You know, if I were wrapping it, it'd be like pass the parcel. You'd be like, you'd be doing it in the middle of another layer. It'd be like a chocolate eclair, then you'd be another layer, then it'd be a wine gum. Yep. You'd be like, where's my parachute?
Wine gum.
Why a wine gum?
I don't know.
I prefer a chocolate eclair.
Well, you've already had that.
Oh, well, true.
Too many, you know.
So do you have to wait on the actual day then? Do you have to wait and get the nod to go, or do you just go anyway and then hope you can do the job? Because it's very weather dependent, isn't it?
Oh yes, I thought you meant, do they say you can go and you have to jump? you go and just hope the weather's good enough to jump. Right. I really do hope that, because I'd be absolutely devastated if I got there.
You'd imagine if the weather's really bad that morning, you get up and it's like, they're going to be like, don't set off.
Well, we dazed it the day before. So when Daisy had hers,
really?
If there's a chance that it's going to be okay, they're going to say, right, come on, let's chance. You've got to take the chance.
Well, it's because it was wind that stopped Daisy's more than anything. It was.
Oh, I hope it's windy when you do it.
Oh, yeah, about to say, it won't be windy. Like, Rob will come down. It's what happens if I follow through.
Rob will come down and somebody will be asking for his passport.
Welcome to Switzerland.
Oh, do they sell what that in Switzerland?
That's a good accent, I'm off.
Is he from Jamaica?
That's my Welsh accent.
Anyway, guys, listen. I thought I've got a bit of a treat for today. So, a few weeks back, I was on TikTok.
Again.
And I flicked up and I thought, hold on a minute. I know that person. That's Joe. I've not seen Joe for years. I probably last saw Joe when I... Not last saw Joe, probably. I've known Joe since I was... I may be right in saying 6 years old. It's definitely very young, and I haven't seen her for many years. More than 10, 15 years, I'd probably say. And I thought, do you know what? I'm going to bring our first female guest on the podcast.
Oh,
exciting.
That's brave.
Here we are. Joe.
Hey!
The Yorkshire wife.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, all right?
Welcome to the chatting.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're probably going to have to explain first the Yorkshire wife.
The Yorkshire wife, my TikTok name. Yeah, it wasn't on OnlyFans just before. You know, I was kind of like,
time,
can you please drop that in?
Yeah. There's time yet, Joe. There's time yet.
So, a few years ago, I started... gets a bit depressing first. I started getting poorly in 2021. And I had to take time off work. I was a teacher at the time. And then I ended up being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And I was trapped at home. It felt like COVID lockdown all over again. Mm. And I was a drama and music teacher. I was so used to performing and doing lots of stuff. And I was trapped in my house on my own, and my husband suggested, why don't you try some social media? So I began sharing my health journey on TikTok.
Fantastic.
And then eventually it turned into the Yorkshire wife, and I went a bit viral with a song entitled How to Be a Yorkshire Wife. And it sort of taken off from there, and now I'm trying my hand at being a stand-up musical comedian.
Ayo.
Brilliant.
Well, you've answered my first question. How did you know Rob? Yeah. Being a thespian and all that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, he's part of the, you know, oh, his mum's an absolute local legend.
Yeah, well, absolutely. In fact, it's funny you should say that, local legend, because I nearly introduced you as a national treasure.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started.
And I thought, can I introduce her as a national treasure? Mark, is she a national treasure?
Who?
Joe?
Yeah,
who?
She's both.
It's forgotten already.
Yeah, let's give her the title of legend and national treasure.
Even though she's female?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's not a problem. Yeah, we can do with that title.
You've changed your tune now, haven't you?
No, well, it's only because she's in Rome when she's gone out. And we record
it. Kicking distance. I'm
only joking, Joe.
It goes back a few episodes ago where we were talking about people throwing the word around, national treasure, legend. Yes. Was there another word, or was it just...
No, that was it. And
Mark had a very strong viewpoint about the situation, and it just made me laugh. As soon as I was introducing you, I thought, national treasure.
Brilliant. Not yet, maybe one day.
So the story goes, Mark, that it was your dad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mike,
yeah.
Who was into the amateur theatre circuit, which, as was my mum, many years ago. This is 1990s, isn't it?
It is.
Maybe even earlier. But
I think it was earlier.
And that's how we originally met, both being very young kids. We didn't see each other an awful lot, did we? But through the years, we kept bumping.
School, weren't we?
Oh, yeah, go, of course.
You were the year below me.
Yes. I forgot about that.
I'm sure you used to... Did you hang around with a little lad called Dan?
Daniel.
Daniel.
Daniel Young.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
yeah.
We weren't called Dan, we were called Daniel.
Yes, yeah, Daniel, yeah.
Get it right.
Yeah. Danielle.
Probably now.
Because it was Rob and Dan, and everyone in you always came as a pair.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
That's right, yeah.
Roberta.
That were at Wickersley, weren't it?
Yeah.
Wickersley Com. Yeah.
And right. Northfield Lane.
Oh, my gosh.
See,
your memory's better than mine.
Have you forgotten?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So you don't remember what happened that day we played marbles?
I know. I was just about to say, oh no, how much have I actually forgot? It's going to be awkward. No, so, and then I left Wickersley in year eight and moved to Kimworth, didn't I? Because that's where I
went
met Kirk.
To a proper school.
And replaced Daniel with Kirk. Sorry if you're listening, Daniel.
Where's Daniel under patio?
No, he's doing very well, I'm sure. And so then, kind of growing up, we didn't see each other an awful lot after that.
No,
point,
it was always
we?
At the Civic Theatre, wasn't it? Yeah. When there were shows on and everything, yeah. And it'd always.
But then
be...
my last memory that I actually properly remember seeing you was at the Drawbridge Pub.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Can you clear this up? Because I can't remember who was it that owned. The Drawbridge Pub.
Well, my dad was the manager.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
so
it.
My dad ran the Drawbridge.
Yeah.
He'd run loads of pubs around here, around the Hind.
Yeah.
Golden Ball down in Whiston. But the Drawbridge, that's the one where he then went back to and retired there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I couldn't get that out of my head. I was like, how did I last see it? And why was that the reason why? And you were singing, weren't you? You were on karaoke. I do definitely remember that.
Oh, gone. And I was always the embarrassing kid who'd get up and sing a musical theatre song.
Yeah.
And everyone would be like, what's going on? Yeah.
Everyone else is singing Spice Girls.
Absolutely,
or?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely remember Danny being there.
Yeah, my brother. Yeah.
Your brother. Yeah.
Not Daniel.
No,
he's Danny.
Danny.
Yeah.
He's
Daniel's
on
the patio by this point. Yeah.
And he is a legend.
Yes.
He is a legend.
Oh, he absolutely
Everybody
is.
Knew Danny.
You can't take him anywhere without, you know, without Danny Toop. And Danny goes, I don't know who it was. His memory's worse than mine.
How's he doing?
Do you know what? He's really good, thank you. Yeah. He's just moved into a new residential home in South Kirkby.
Oh, wow.
And it's just fantastic.
Give a bit of backstory of Danny.
So my brother has cerebral palsy. And he's 3 years older than me, and he lived with me, my mum, my dad, And then, obviously, both our parents had interesting times in the 90s, didn't they? Not with each other.
Not with each other.
Why are we going to their house again, Mum?
It's always Doncaster Dome. Oh, look who we've bumped into again. And, then... sad bits then when my mum passed away, he moved in with my dad. And then it got to the point where Danny was ready to have some independence, and he moved into supported living, and now he's gone into a residential home with other younger adults with disabilities, and he's loving it, absolutely loving it. Off to hydrotherapy tomorrow, he can't wait.
Oh, wow. Well. That is fantastic.
So, Joe, you mentioned, obviously, that you started getting ill in, what, 2021?
Yes.
So, like, into adulthood, you was adult?
Yes, I turned 40 that year. I was quite young. Well, thank you.
I don't like to presume, you know. We're not used to having women around, Joe. I don't know what the rules are or anything. I've had to get... They told me I had to get dressed for today.
He's even had his hair cut.
Can I ask you, what was that like for you? Like, living a lot of your life, obviously, without a disability yourself, and then getting ill into adulthood. Did you find that hard to adapt to and deal with in your head, if you like, and stuff?
It's actually really strange, because I actually first went to the doctors with symptoms of MS when I was 19.
Oh, right. Okay. Wow.
And from being 19 all the way through to being 40, I had hospitalizations. I was misdiagnosed. I kept being thrown from one specialist to another, and constantly, almost to the point of feeling like a hypochondriac, because nobody could put the finger on it. By the time I got to see a specialist, I was okay again, which is where like relapses come with certain types of MS. And then it wasn't until the MRI scans that they took in 2021 that they found lesions, and that and a lumbar puncture then confirmed that I had multiple sclerosis. But it's even more annoying because they actually missed changes in my scans from 2015. So I should have been diagnosed, before I was 20. I was then misdiagnosed, and so actually, by the time I got that diagnosis, it was a relief. It was a relief because I'd always known there was something wrong. And in the sort of year leading into that really bad relapse, I kept thinking, am I just lazy? Why can't I do things? Why am I always tired? And why can't I remember things and do all these things anymore and keep, juggling work, kids, everything? So it was a real relief, but unfortunately that relapse had left me with permanent disabilities, which meant I had to come out of teaching. And then I've had all sorts of rehabilitation, and then I was still being gaslighted really by doctors, because they'd not fully diagnosed what else was going on with me, and it took seeing a specialist in London to then get the diagnosis of functional neurological disorder as well, with the non-epileptic seizures that I have as well.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Yeah. So I've never heard of that.
Yes, it's
so can you
I'll try it. So with functional neurological disorder, it's an issue with the brain and body communicating with each other and signals being misfired. So I'll have these episodes where my entire body like turns into a puppet on a string and fly about all over the place. And that's what a lot of my videos on TikTok are as well, following that, because I deal with everything with humour. And so setting those seizures to music goes down really well.
That's like going out clubbing with you, Mark.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Everyone always says, I'd just dance along with you.
Yeah. So it's neurological. The expression is physical. What happens? But it's actually driven from neurological.
Yes, and with the FND, they can't find it in a blood test. They can't find it on a scan. So it is again one of those illnesses that is not believed by a lot, and a lot of medical people. I end up explaining to them what it is, that they don't know what it is, and because they can't just give you, you know, a tablet and send you on your way with it. So it is quite bizarre.
So can I ask, pardon my ignorance, but what effects does the MS have on you opposed to the neurological?
Yeah, so MS, multiple sclerosis, that is where your own immune system is attacking itself. Wow. And basically you have your central nervous system, and you have a myelin sheath around the nerves, and that is being attacked by your immune system, and they believe like the B cells are attacking your immune system. It makes me laugh because apparently it's the mature and immature B cells that are attacking the myelin sheath. So it's, I like to think of it as all these grandparents, like, you know, getting the kids and going, come on, I'll show you a good time. You know?
And yep, back to you, Mark.
Yeah. I thought you might have made reference there.
It's like we're nightclubbing with you.
Is this a personification of my illness?
Listen, my age always comes into these podcasts. I mean, I didn't think he'd come into this one.
I don't think you've ever been personified as MS.
No, not at all. It's a new one on me.
No, it's more that, I'll show you a good shot.
and then, depending where those lesions are, I have them in my brain and on my spine, it can then cause different symptoms. So I have some symptoms that I deal with on a daily basis, like fatigue is a real main one, which is not just tiredness. Yeah. Yes, tired at the end of the day of work is not like fatigue. Your body just switches off. It's so weird because then it can lift as well, and it can come out of nowhere, which is so bizarre. But then I have like pins and needles tingling in my entire body. I have weird numbness where it can all of a sudden feel like parts of your body aren't there. It's really affected my hands. I was a grade 8 pianist, and now, if you hear my songs later, I play very, very simple chords because that's all I can do now, even though I keep working on it. There's other things like pain, electric shocks. It's so bizarre. Tinnitus, headaches, like ice picks. So there's all sorts going on. And I have relapsing remitting. So I can have periods where I have a real flare up of symptoms. And then I can have moments where I come back to my baseline of symptoms. Yeah. So I'm at baseline at the moment. So that's good. I get to do a bit more with life.
You know, when you speak to someone like yourself and you think, when you get up in the morning and someone says to you, how are you? And you go, yeah, I'm fine. I'm feeling a bit crap today. And then you think, you and other people, many other people that deal with MS and neurological conditions, go through this every day. You just think, how am I not saying, when someone says, how are you today, am I not literally screaming at the top of my voice, I'm amazing? Because I don't realise how lucky we are when you've not got something, you know, a condition that has that effect.
Oh, I know, but then everybody's got things that you're dealing with, haven't they? You know, we all get dealt our hand, and I always say it's not what happens to you that makes you who you are, it's how you deal with it.
Yeah.
And some people, you know, let things consume them, and that's their way of dealing with it. I'm a do what I can while I can kind of person, and I'll keep going. And I think we all, know, most people do try to keep that positive outlook. And that's how I got into volunteering for the MS Society. So I'm the volunteer group coordinator for the Sheffield and Rotherham group.
Oh, okay.
So we have seated exercise classes and social groups. We come together and we've all got that same mindset of we're going to support each other and have this family to... MS family to support each other through the difficult times.
I suppose that's important as well, isn't it? Because you know that you're in a room with people that are sharing that experience, aren't they?
Yes.
Whereas we're asking you now and you're explaining it to us, we're sort of going, crikey, that must be bad. But we don't really know what that feels like. Whereas you're in a room with people that do. You've got
And you help each other with it, because that's the thing. It gets called the snowflake disease, MS, because everybody is different. Because it all depends on where your lesions are, depends on what your symptoms are like, and then the other factors in your life that can make things better or worse for you. But there'll always be someone who's had a similar symptom or someone who's got a combination of your symptoms, and we help each other, and that gives us so much more knowledge than the medical professionals.
Yeah.
And is the FND diagnosis, is that... And again, sorry to sound so naive, but is that quite a rare thing? I've never heard of it before in my life. So is it a rare thing? Is it classed as rare?
I bet you've heard of fibromyalgia.
Yes.
Yes, and that comes under FND as well.
Okay.
Again, something that can't be seen on scans and things, but causes many of the same symptoms as MS. And certainly a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. And it's the brain and the body not communicating properly and missending signals to your body. Mm-hmm. And there does need to be so much more research. We've actually, a friend of mine had put a petition together and we had a response from the government. We got enough signatures to get a response from the government that they are very aware that there needs to be much more money put into this. And that, from everyone from GPs to neurologists, need to have a better understanding of this.
And awareness, I think.
Yes.
You know, awareness. And is that you mentioned that you went into social media. And I guess at first, the way you said it was more like a bit of a coping mechanism because you were stuck in the house or whatever. Do you... we'll come on to it in a bit more detail about your social media, but is that a good platform to create that awareness? Is that something on your mind that it's like that you're trying to use that for awareness of the public as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've just had MS Awareness Week, and so I put on videos about what is MS, or if it's an FND day, an awareness day, and try to give that information, always with that I'm not a medical expert. Anything I say is from my own life experience. When you think I've been dealing with this for over 20 years, it's just from living with this gives me that knowledge. But there are so many of us, and I'm connected. I've got friends now in America, Australia, who have MS, have FND, and I get so many messages all the time with people. And what's lovely, it's when people say a family member's been diagnosed with it, how can I help them? That is incredible. It's not just the person with an illness reaching out, it is, as you're saying, people who want more awareness and how can they make life easier for a family member or a friend.
And I think as well, the thing is, it's not like people will all, we don't necessarily know somebody that has these illnesses to just go, I'll get in touch with X, they'll know. They'll be able to give me some advice. But the fact that you're there at the forefront on a social media platform that's not designed, you're not using it necessarily exactly just for that, but it's so easy for them to say, I'll ask the Yorkshire Wife.
Yes.
I'll speak to Joe.
Yes.
Because they know, they know, and they can clearly tell from your social media that you are very approachable.
Oh, thank you. And that's it. It's really about making sure that nobody goes through this journey alone.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that I do try to bring humour to it and do look on the positive side of things, that it does make you more approachable.
Do you get any... negative side from stuff like that? Obviously, social media's got, it says it can be a toxic place. We've talked about it quite a lot on this podcast, and that's why I'm asking. I think out of all the social media platforms, TikTok's my favourite at the minute, and that's because it looks at your algorithms, so therefore I look at a lot of stand-up comedy or whatever, so therefore that's what it puts in front of me. So I find it quite a joyful thing to do. With Rob, it tends to be teenagers and teenage kids that it comes up on his, apparently.
It's nothing to do with me. Whoa. It's nothing to do with me.
There's no
disclaimer. Rob's had his DBS check. Sadly, it's been... anyway.
But obviously, there is an exit. And you said that you obviously use comedy for them purposes. Do you get any backlash for that, using the funny side of it?
Only very occasionally. Mm. And it really is occasionally that somebody will say something like, oh, you shouldn't be taking the mickey out of disability.
Yeah.
And it's like, but it's my disability.
You
and
own
this
it.
is my coping mechanism. You don't have to watch it. Mm. Yes, yeah. You can
more
scroll,
importantly, scroll on.
Scroll
yeah.
on mine. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Some people love to be offended on behalf of other
people,
absolutely, don't
they? Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And the other thing is that people go, this is so fake. Well, if you saw some of the contortions that my body goes into, I can't do it, you know, if it's not in a seizure and things. But because I have built up quite a following, I don't have to do the sort of backlash anymore. Other people come in and say, if you understood FND and MS, then you would understand.
The Yorkshire Wife Army.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Yeah. I need T-shirts with that.
So the social media presence that you've now got obviously stems from somewhere, and we touched on it earlier. But so tell us, first off, before you became a drama teacher, am I right in thinking you'd done some theatre?
Absolutely, yes. All the way through school in productions and things. And then I went to drama school. I went to LIPA, the Liverpool Institute of Performing Arts.
All right.
Known as Paul McCartney Stage School.
And
yes, I did receive my degree from Paul McCartney.
Oh,
yeah. I did, yes.
Personally,
yeah.
From
yes,
him.
Yeah, he was That's there great. At my graduation. And have a picture shaking.
You went to school together, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Mark's excited because that's his hero. We brought him back to his hero.
See what I mean about the age? It always crops up.
Yes, my dad, my mum and my brother were able to sit on the front row, you know, disability privileges. And, Macca said hello to my brother and my dad. My mum and dad were just like that. Oh my god!
Oh my goodness! That's amazing. Yeah. And then where did it go from there?
Well, then I went into some performance and acting, and had an agent and started with some TV work. So I did a couple of episodes of Emmerdale. I was Nurse Madeline Hughes back in 2006, which was delightful. You know, if you ever had to stand with sheep around your feet waiting for a cloud to move so they could get the right lighting. Exciting
both
times.
Both me and Kirk do actually know that feeling.
Extra work
for us. But yeah,
you two will have been dressed as a sheep.
Yeah, he was a sheep. Yeah.
I was a scarecrow in the background.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then Catching Toasters, Caroline Quentin's nanny on Blue Murder, and by the time the bread popped up how the director wanted it, it was burnt. You know, it's like...
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I was cast in theatre and education piece that was touring Nottingham called Kids Having Kids for PSHE, and I realised, this is amazing. Like live theatre. I'd been up for West End things like Billy Elliot and things like that, Starlight Express. I lied, pretended I could roller skate.
Roller skate.
Yeah, I was hoping the singing audition would come first. And it was just like, whoa, here we go. But it was the theatre in education and being right there and seeing the impact that drama could have on young people.
Absolutely.
And being hot seated in character and it being you had to know your facts and things.
Yeah.
And it being right there in front of you, not the lights and things. And I just loved it. So I did so much more theatre in education. And then
was that with Cragrats?
And didn't work with Cragrats, worked with Impact Universal Limited, which have you worked
with
Cragrats?
I worked with Cragrats, yeah.
Fabulous, yeah, because are they based over near Home Firth?
They were Home Firth,
well?
Yeah. Yes. They don't exist anymore.
No, they were brilliant, weren't they, though? But Impact, they were based near there as well.
Right.
It was brilliant to do that kind of work, and that's then when I started becoming a drama practitioner and worked for Open Minds Theatre Company with Kat Fletcher. I don't know if you remember her from Wickersley as well. Outstanding drama practitioner. And Steve Rogers, who was a drama teacher.
Oh, I do remember Steve
Wickersley
Rogers.
Wickersley as well. Yeah, they set up the company.
Right.
And then Kat and I worked with the Royal Shakespeare Company, and we set up the Rotherham Shakespeare Festival and ran the first Rotherham Shakespeare Festival.
Well, you went to school with Shakespeare as well, didn't you?
There they go again.
I never knew this.
Yeah, yeah.
And how many years did that festival run for, or how long?
They kept it going quite a while after we stopped sort of leading it, because the idea was that we trained up teachers to then be able to deliver and teach Shakespeare, and we rewrote lots of the plays and directed them in the schools and things and did all sorts of different festivals.
Wow.
And then the job came up at Wickersley, which is the school we used to go to, and they were looking for somebody to train up as a drama teacher and somebody who could teach some music as well.
Yeah.
And how old was I? I was 28 when I then began training as a drama teacher.
Brilliant.
So
when you said you were rewriting sort of Shakespeare stuff then, was that to make it suitable for kids, or was it just make it a bit more entertaining, or?
Yes, both. So obviously there can be very lengthy plays, so it was really taking the essence of the story and going back to the characters and being able to pick out what the story really was trying to say.
Okay.
But teaching them how to speak Shakespearean language, but then adding in moments of explanation with it as well, and bringing in lots of modern music into the pieces to help them to understand it as well.
Right. And what's your favourite piece of Shakespeare work?
The Tempest.
Is it?
Absolutely.
I don't even know what that's about.
I'd love to
pretend. I asked the question then, like thinking, oh yes, what's your favourite Shakespeare piece? Yeah. Like, The Tempest.
Let's go round. What? Everyone say their favourite Shakespeare.
Mine's The Merchant of Venice.
Oh, nice.
So,
yeah, mine's Romeo and Juliet.
The
only one I've ever read.
And watched it with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Did Shakespeare do Mary Poppins?
And so, and then now, obviously, we skip a few years on.
Absolutely.
You've had your diagnosis, things. Yeah. You know, you said earlier that now when you're playing the piano, obviously it's affected the way that you play, so do you have to work around that when it comes to creating the material and the things that you do now?
Absolutely. Again, when I was going through the diagnosis and I was at home, my piano was actually in my office at work. I'd just begun as the head of music at Wickersley. I'd worked so hard and directed musicals and got to the point where it's like, wow, this is fantastic career-wise. And had my piano at work for students to be able to play a nice piano for their exam pieces and things. And then I was at home without anything and I couldn't play. So probably about 8 months I didn't play at all and couldn't. And then when I was leaving the job, piano was delivered home. And it was on that day that I wrote one of the comedy songs, When Life Gives You Lemons.
Right.
And was like, right, I've been sharing my health journey. And again, Ben, my husband, he was just like, come on, why don't you just put it out there? It doesn't matter. Just give it a go. So
how amazing to have that support as well.
He's incredible. He really is. And so we just thought, right, here we go. I'm going to put it out there. Because I'd always written comedy songs since my teens, but didn't ever have the confidence, that imposter syndrome, didn't ever think it could go anywhere. And it did.
And now, was it a week ago, you were
given awarded the judges nomination for Gag and Bowman Comedy Award.
I won my heat last week and I've made it into the final of Gag and Bowman Comedy's New Comedian of the Year.
That's fantastic.
It's great.
Where was your heat then? Where did that take place?
It was in Batley at 1931 Burstall Bar. Okay. Beautiful bar. You've got to go there. Yeah. Fantastic.
You said bar. They sell beer. I'm going.
Yeah.
You didn't ask me twice.
Did they do beer?
I think it's time you left your beanie 2 weeks. And where's the final held?
It's going to be there as well.
Okay.
Yes, on the Monday, the 25th of August.
Oh, we might need to make a plan on that.
Yeah.
Might need to calendarise that.
Yeah. So do you get out? Do you gig much then? Are you out and about? And
I try to have 1 gig a week.
Okay.
I would love to be able to do more. And I actually did a stand-up comedy course last year to raise money for the MS Society with Ultra Comedy. And from that, started getting gigs and I'd love to do more, but obviously my health just has to take precedence, and I'm a mum and a wife, you know, so I had to do those things as well. So I'd love to be able to do more. But I've had some great gigs, and I have to be careful that I can't drive too far and things. So it's all those things to take into consideration. But I was lucky enough to perform as one of the middle acts at Dewsbury Town Hall in February, and Alan Davis was the headliner.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And the Lost Voice guy was the opening act.
Oh, brilliant.
Which was just incredible.
Yeah.
Especially because backstage, Lost Voice guy, when he's talking to you backstage with his computer, he has a Newcastle accent. He's from Newcastle, so he talks to you with his Newcastle accent, and he's this RP voice when he's on stage.
Well, he only needs two keys, don't he? Why I?
That's funny, where Newcastle accent, you were stuck. Yeah.
Why I?
He'd love that.
You mentioned there about the training that you did with Ultra Comedy. So if somebody, let's say, in and around this table, was thinking of doing Ultra Comedy or whatever stand-up, would your recommendation to be stop, point off, and just get on with it?
Absolutely, but I would point you in the direction of Graham Rayner.
Because as you can probably tell, they're talking about me. Being so funny. We're talking about the other Mark.
Honestly, just do it. It
would only be for 30 seconds, and then after the first tomato, I'd be off. But yeah.
So a bit of background, and for people that maybe have not gone back to episode 2 or 3
early on,
we did a New Year's resolutions. Mine, as we've discussed at the start of the podcast, was to jump out of a plane 15,000 feet and do a skydive. And it didn't happen the first year. Mark's was to do a stand-up comedy show. And again, he didn't do it either. So we redid them again. And I said I was going to do the skydive. I'm now doing it in a few weeks, next week. But Mark's now no longer seems to be committing to his. Yeah. And he really should, shouldn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah. And Graham Rayner is running mentor programs and through Steel City Comedy in Sheffield. He's absolutely fantastic.
There's
I'll
no
put you in
this,
touch
is
with
there?
Him.
No.
Yeah. You need to put him in touch.
How much an hour?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I can't do that. Sorry. You're more expensive for me. Do you find when you're out and about then, doing your day-to-day stuff, that people recognise you? You're obviously having your social media exposure.
It's getting more and more, often in Asda. In Asda or at the hospital. Right. Yeah, that people will stop me and go, are you her?
It helps that you're wearing your T-shirt,
yes,
though.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, yeah.
For anyone that can't see, she's currently wearing a Yorkshire Wife branded T-shirt that looks like the logo of Yorkshire Tea, but it says Yorkshire Wife. Yeah. It's a very good logo, I must say.
Brilliant,
I love it.
Yeah, designed by Northern Power Garms.
Really?
They made this for me. Jules, good old Jules.
Look at you name dropping.
Oh, absolutely.
You've got him. You've got him.
They have to pay a premium for name drops on here, you know.
That needs to be a thing.
Yeah. So
going back to comedy then, who do you look for inspiration, or who was an inspiration to you? You know, when you say, oh, he's my favourite comedian, or she's my favourite comedian.
It was absolutely Victoria Wood.
Yeah.
When I was young, my mum would put on, you know, an audience with Victoria Wood, and then we'd watch a scene on TV with Julie Walters. Mm. And then, I can't remember her name, you know, in Father Ted. The go on. They're cleaner.
The one who brought the tea out.
Yes.
What's the character now?
I can't think. But it was characters like that.
I'll Google it.
Yeah, Google it. That I...
Was it somebody, Mrs. Somebody?
That's an easy one.
Should we all
you
have a
narrow
guess?
It down, Mark.
No, but what I mean by that is...
Come on, Captain Obvious.
No. Come on, hear me out. What I mean by that is that they called her Mrs. Somebody instead of Vicky or something
Mrs.
like that.
Mrs. Doyle?
Yeah, there we go.
Mrs. Doyle.
Pauline McLean.
That's what I mean by the Mrs.
Right.
Paul what?
Pauline McLean.
Yeah, Mrs. Doyle, that way. Yeah, and they addressed her by Mrs. Doyle.
Instead of
Julie or whatever her name was. Yeah, that's what I meant, you smart arses. Thank you very much.
And that's what.
And it was those characters that I always hoped I'd go into creating those characters on stage. And I always got cast as those sorts of characters. I used to get characters like the girl next door, the old ladies. You know, I was never the Juliet. I was the nurse, you know. and
that's like you, Rob.
Yeah. And it's those roles that I absolutely love playing. And, yeah, I hope to go back into more acting. I am performing with Far, Far Away Theatre Company now.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
My mind was almost wandering and thinking, you'll not know what I'm about to say, Kirk, but I can imagine you doing a cracking performance of The Cream Cracker Under the Settee. You know it?
What a monologue.
Yeah.
That can only be like you when you've got you down to the last cream cracker and you drop it and you just start crying. Is that it?
No. It's a really good monologue.
Great monologue. But I nailed it.
So this far away theatre then. Who are they? What do they do then?
It's a local family-run company, Jenna and Matt Dabbs, and they create family.
I know Matt Dabbs.
Yeah.
He used to be the drummer. Yes, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I haven't seen Matt in years.
Oh, he's absolutely brilliant.
And what a drum.
He's phenomenal, isn't he?
Absolutely phenomenal.
Well, his composing is as outstanding.
Right.
And so he writes all the music for their productions. Jenna has just written script for The Elves and the Shoemaker that's going to be at the Montgomery Theatre in Sheffield this December.
Oh, wow.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And they sound like professional bingo players, don't they? That's one of my dad's jokes.
Yeah, I like it. You should see. There you go. You've got these little jokes.
Mark's got a really good
that's why I'm not doing it.
Mark's got a really good Jesus joke. He'll tell you one day.
That's the one.
Please don't.
Mark. Go on.
No, you go.
No, go for it.
I will. If there was one thing that you could play anywhere in the world, what role would it be? And where would it be?
Oh wow! What role would I love to play? I wish I could go back into musical theatre. I actually really hope one day that I will actually get together, maybe with Jenna and Matt, they could support it, and finish writing the musical Does My Bum Look Big in This and star in my own musical.
Wow. Did you start writing?
I've been writing that since my teens.
Really?
It's like this idea of women losing weight and this, that and the other and I know. Women being annoying.
Why is Joe looking at me?
I don't know, if it's about losing weight, I want to be in it.
So you've literally been writing that from like teens?
Yes, and again, it's that where I have this whole back catalogue of songs and I'm just starting to feel more confident in actually playing them and having them heard by people.
You have to finish this. You have to finish that. Yeah, what's the stopper? What's making you think that you can't finish it, or that you shouldn't finish it, or that you're not just doing it?
It just takes time, doesn't it?
Okay, yeah.
And I'm building the confidence back up, back on stage, and seeing what I can do.
Yeah.
And Jenna and Matt are phenomenal at making sure that there are adjustments in rehearsals for me, adjustments at the theatre for me. They totally understand my conditions, which is unbelievable, because most people, they don't have the time or the energy or even want to help you. So I can't thank them enough. And it's helping build up, and people like Graham Rayner mentoring me in my comedy and really helping support me so I can go and do these 10-minute gigs and build it all back up.
Honestly, absolutely blow me away. I'm sat here thinking, no, we've not seen each other for many years, but sat here going, wow.
How inspiring is that?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, absolutely. I'm like, you go, Joe. You go for it.
Oh, now you've got Rob's seal of approval. Yeah,
I feel another T-shirt coming on here.
And a new mug.
And a new mug.
We need the fifth chat-in member, our first player, other than Sally. Obviously, Sally's our
bar lady.
I don't know what to call her.
Landlady.
Yeah. Landlady. Yeah. That's the word.
So, do you have anything else in the pipeline coming up? Or
I do actually. Yeah. We're waiting to hear if we have had funding through the Arts Council, where I'm hoping to be working with the Blue Badge Bunch, with Benny Shakes, a comedian, and he creates piece of theatre for children and different age groups to help them understand disability. So I'm hoping to come on board with them if we get the funding. Come on, Arts Council, come on. As kind of an educational specialist, so bringing that side of things in, so from my teaching background, but then obviously the performance background as well, which will be really exciting. Yeah. And then I've had some auditions this week for a TV programme.
We're getting an exclusive.
Can you tell us?
You tell us off at school.
Oh, geez.
They've approached me. They found me on TikTok.
Yeah.
And they're looking for loud, confident people who've got stories to tell.
You've got a few of them.
So I've got through the initial application round, got through the telephone audition, got through the Zoom audition that was yesterday. So I should find out in the next couple of weeks.
This is exciting.
This is very exciting.
It should be really cool.
What would be good then? Because obviously, when you do your announcement and you'll do it on your socials, it'd be great if we could do something and we'll incorporate it into ours and we'll also.
Absolutely, that'd be marvellous.
That'd be fantastic.
Absolutely.
Whether it be a phone call or a Zoom call or something, that'd be brilliant. That.
Good luck.
And all the best. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you.
A bit of a curveball now. I'm going to change direction because I do this thing every
time. I don't believe it, man.
I put a handbrake on and I do a handbrake turn. Because we're talking about, obviously, aspirations and obviously dreams and whatever. Do you ever have any weird dreams?
Oh.
Where did you get these things from?
It just comes out of it, doesn't it?
Well, do you, though? I mean, I had a dream come true.
Oh.
I did. You might not know. We were obviously Oasis, and we're within now a month. Oh. It's next month.
Next month.
Is that how close it is?
Yeah.
Have they not cancelled yet?
No.
Wow.
Ooh. And do you know what? It's like Christmas. It is like Christmas. They've even got their own radio station.
There's
an Oasis radio station.
And it's live now?
It's live now.
What did they play? Just Oasis?
Yeah, it's Radio X, Oasis. It's fantastic. Sure, that's a bit much. It's like proper Christmas. So not only do you get the present, you get the music on radio to go with it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, but they're going to run out of tracks at some point, aren't they?
They just keep playing them.
I mean,
don't forget, there's loads and loads, and there's all this other stuff that you've not heard, or the B-sides and singles.
In the ODR, though, isn't that just called Radio X?
No.
Because they play a lot of Oasis, don't they?
Not as much as they do on the radio station.
The actual radio station.
Oh, what's it called?
Radio Oasis.
Have you already said it?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Radio X.
Do you not listen, Ross? Sorry?
Do you not listen?
Oh, I didn't even realise I was only going down the mental...
You know, like, absolute country yeah. and absolute noughties and right. absolute...
Anyway.
And so, how long's this radio station running for Oasis, until they've done the gigs?
Probably until they break up, yeah. Next
yeah.
week.
Yeah, next week.
Anyway, going back to dreams, I had this real... I mean, I have loads of weird dreams, but I had this weird dream of the day, and I just kept breaking my glasses.
Because of the dream?
Yeah, just every time I get picked up and I just break them and I'd be like, what's going off? Not on purpose, but they would just keep breaking.
This is in your dream, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, just no, Mark,
you've gone back into character now, yeah, you're not listening anymore.
I'm with Mark. I thought you meant you'd had a dream that was so bad that you kept breaking your glasses.
You're slapping himself in the face. Yeah,
because you said...
a bad dream.
While I was asleep...
Because you said it
I
came
reached
true.
Over, I got my glasses, I put them on, punched myself in the face, broke them, took them off, no, fixed them, fell asleep again, put them back on, punched myself in the face again and broke them
yeah.
again.
Yeah, although Joey's sat there thinking, yeah, that's believable.
Yeah, yeah.
She does that every
night. An FND seizure in your sleep, absolutely.
Bonkers, do you have any weird dreams?
Oh, absolutely. In these last few weeks with my brother moving into a new residential home, I've been having absolutely bizarre dreams, dreaming that... Like, he'd spent one night there at the new place, and they brought him home and just went, look, he can walk now. And I was like, what? and then had a dream that I was being taken to a residential home, and outside, everyone was playing table tennis from the wheelchairs and everything. Everyone was playing it, and then... The ground floor looked like a typical kind of clinical building, but then the middle floor was a fun fair and the top floor had a racing car thing, and Ben was just sort of like saying, you'll be fine here, you'll fit right in.
It's a mad, aren't they, dreams?
Absolutely.
Honestly, I had the most relatable dream to this conversation.
Children, listen to this.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a warning.
Oh yeah, no, it's yeah. absolutely fine, right? So it was us four, and this was literally 4 days ago, right? Mm-hmm. So us four were doing our first live event. This is not a cheeky drop of about our live event.
29th of June.
Yep.
What time?
4 o'clock-ish. And it was like we were at Clifton Park. So it was like there was a big event on like...
Raytons.
And we were basically the compares of the show, but it was also our live event. So we would go on, we were the host, we'd say hello to everyone, you know, welcome to the show, we're the Chatting, and we're going to, you know, and we'd talk for a little bit, and then we'd bring on an act. The act would come on, and we'd go backstage. And I remember after the first time we went off, so we'd been on stage, we'd come off, and I was, of course I was, doing pull-ups on the rig of the side of the stage, and Kurt was doing this thing, which you'll know he does. He looks at me, with disapproving dad eyes, going, you can't help it, can you? You can't help it, can you? And I'm going, what? And he's going, the audience can probably see you, Robert. The audience can probably see you. So I get down like a naughty schoolboy. And then we went on again. We did his other segue, you know. And then we came off. And then you said, I've had an idea.
Oh, dear.
What? Let's go back to mine and have some drinks. And I was like... Mark, when are we next on? You said, trust me.
Right? And that's the last thing
so
you want to be
off
doing.
We did. We came to your house here. We walked in. Ella was on the back garden singing karaoke. And you said, Ellen, you need to turn that down because we're trying to hear when we're ready to go back on at Clifton Park. So Ellen had to turn music down. And then... We realised we weren't going to be back in time for a segue, and we wanted to plug the live event. So you had another idea that we came into the pub and recorded our final segue to tell everybody to come and watch our live event. Then you drove down and left us here and gave it to them to play over the speakers at the end of the event.
Crikey.
Honestly, it's so vivid, and it's only so vivid because it was so relevant to us.
Well, go on.
I would not have known, because I don't remember dreams that well. And because it was so relevant to us, I was like, I have to write this down because I knew I'd forget. Is that not a thing with all of us, right? If you do not think about your dream, as soon as you've had it,
it's gone.
Yeah, it disappears.
Yeah. And so I had to make a conscious effort to write it down because I really wanted to tell you.
Well, have you two had any weird dreams around?
Yeah.
Have you? Well,
you can't remember, can
but
you?
But I can't remember. Seriously.
You're struggling to remember your name.
I mean, Rob's right. They go instantly, but they go that quick that I ain't even got time to write them down. Because I'm writing them down, going, right, I had this. Oh, I forgot it. That's how quick they go. So, yeah, I have loads of weird dreams, but I just can't remember.
Sorry, Kirk, have you had any weird dreams?
Well, I had one the other night, but I were handcuffed to a bed.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
No?
We're robbing that as well.
You don't want to hear about
any other dreams.
You don't want to hear about my dreams.
Well, after I
believe him for some reason.
First dream, I thought, like what you said, I started writing them down because I thought, do you know what? There's some talking points here, and I'm going to start off with the first one, because the first one's quite somber, right? And I weren't going to bring it up, but I am, because it doesn't end badly.
Oh, okay.
Although it starts off quite bad. Oh. So we went to this
funeral.
No. I can't describe why we were there, but we went to this place and it was like a all inside was like a multi-story concrete sort of, you know, a series of levels like that.
A car park, you mean?
Yes. So that's what it was set like.
Okay.
All different levels. You were there, Kirk, and obviously your family and everything else, and we were there, and I can't remember who else were there. But inside, there were a fun fair, and there were a really high slide at the top, and there were me and I think I was stood at the top, and there were a couple of other people stood at the top, and Mimi was at the top, and she fell off. Oh, and we're talking 6 or 7 metres high. She literally fell off. Honestly, it's really bad, this. And she hits the floor.
Mimi's my daughter, by the way, Joe.
Oh, daughter.
My.
I know.
My 13-year-old.
It's a dream. It's a dream.
Right? Anyway, she knocks herself out, and then we're like, you're all stood around her, and I'm looking down going, shit, what would you, what? And then she just gets up, and just like, as if nothing's happened, and starts walking around in it, and you're like, and she's saying, I'm all right, and I'm shouting, you need to go to the hospital, you've been unconscious, you need to go to... She's fallen 7 metres, been knocked unconscious, and then got up as if nothing's wrong. And it were like, how... Obviously, I've only brought it up because it was okay, but it's like, where would that come from?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Anyway, then I had another one. This was the night after, right? So I were DJing, right, in a pub that I know very well. And I know that... I'm not going to mention the particular pub. And nothing would work. And I were putting CDs into a computer, trying to get this DJ stuff to work. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I couldn't get anything to work. And then the landlady came over and she went, you've been on an hour and a half now and you've not even said a word on the microphone. And she was telling me off. So I went to the front of the pub and picked up some birthday cards. So we're going to read off some announcements as to what price the beer was.
Brilliant.
All the special offers in the shop, but there were birthday cards at the front of the pub in a shop, but that are in the back on a computer trying to, like, what? Where's that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I had another one.
Goodness me.
I have actually got another one now.
I were back at school, right? But I was 43 years old, and
that's quite 43.
I was 43 years old. Okay. I were at school, and it was my last day of school, but I'd not been to school the day before. So I was like, well, there's no point in going anymore. So I left.
How is that?
Where, what's the punchline?
That was it.
Listen, let me tell you, I can't believe this, that you had a dream that involved Kirk's daughter when I had a dream the other day that involved Noah. And
that's
my
son.
That's his son. It didn't start with that. It started...
We're not trying to kill off his family, by the way.
Can I just ask a question? Am I in anybody? Am I in any of your dreams? Or am I nobody?
Hold on. You were in the one with all four of us, but then you're in the next one.
Oh,
it was you and Mark that wasn't in this one.
Right, I'll listen.
Us three were in a casino.
Right.
So Kirk and Mark and me were in a casino, and I found £3 in the bottom of a slot machine.
Yeah.
So I took it and I put it in. And I won. It flashed up on the screen. You know, like your winnings and your thing. You're going through bonus and you're skipping and you're doing all this. I won 11 grand. And I went up to the cashier thing because I had to get a ticket. And she said, 150 quid. And I was like, no, it said 11 grand. She was like, no, it's 150. I said, I'm telling you, it was 11 grand. And we were having this argument. And I said, and she went, come here and I'll show you. We walked through this marquee over in your living room, Kirk. And in your living room was a sofa so big that it went wall to wall on every side. There was no floor. It was just settee apart from...
Just settee.
Right. And there was...
DFS are missing out on a trick here.
I don't know where Mark went, but he didn't follow us back because it was just me, you and Daisy on the settee.
Right.
And Next minute, you fell asleep, and I said, look at this. He complains that I never come round and see you.
Because he never does.
Right. And then you and I said, he's fallen asleep. Look, next minute, Noah walks in and says, hey, I've been doing some press-ups. I said, come on then, show me your press-ups. He did his press-up and said, nah, they're not press-ups. I'll show you a press-up. Uncle Rob will show you a press-up. and then next minute, Rob McVie were there.
Wow, that's now, a blast from the past.
Yeah. I mean, for anyone that's listening.
The singer guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. For anyone that doesn't know, it doesn't matter.
you were on that TV programme ages ago.
Yeah. Joseph thing.
Yeah.
What would it call? Any dream will do.
Any dream will do.
And that were it. I woke up. But how random that you'd had a dream about his daughter and I had a dream about your son.
Yeah.
Weird. And the fact that they... Yeah. Crazy.
Then I had another dream.
Right. Was Mark in it?
No.
Why am I not in any dreams?
We have AXA health insurance as part of his package at work. And I had a dream that they took it off us.
Your dreams go from
very bizarre. They're taking it off us.
Mark, your dreams go from very bizarre to just very boring. Don't
they're just shit dreams.
I often talk as I'm coming out of a dream. Really? And yeah, and here's a conversation that I had with my husband.
Is this the script?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do you want to?
Okay, so this was me. Yeah.
Yeah, in my. And this still is while asleep. You're asleep. I'm still asleep. My husband will either record or he'll write it down, and he talks back to me to see what I come out
in. Right. Yeah. So we're going to read this, yeah?
So okay. I suddenly went.
So I'm playing.
This is great.
I'm playing your husband.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So, why do you use fishing magazines?
What do you mean?
They're not comfy to lay on.
They keep you warm, though.
Who's going to drive?
Who do you think should drive?
Billy wants to. That's my son.
That's okay, then.
Don't let Ollie. That's my youngest son.
Why not?
He's dressed up.
What? what has?
A pirate.
his feet can't touch the pedals.
He has a wooden leg.
We're laughing. I hope he hasn't.
No, yeah. Yeah, we've got enough going on. What if the fish is still alive? I did it.
Did what?
Got the chain on.
What chain?
On the bike.
Whose bike?
Abby's. Who's my friend from school.
And this was an actual conversation that you had upon waking up?
Yep, yep. And it's happened loads of times.
And then what
I feel a whole new feature coming on.
And then do you literally just, how do you then, do you just then wake up or does he wake you up?
Well, I'll still be then asleep, so he'll tell me then, like when I have woken up, you've done it again.
I used to talk in my sleep quite a lot, but I used to wake myself up with it. So I used to.
What did you used to say?
Wake up!
But what was weird is that I knew I was doing it, and it was a conscious thing. It became a conscious thing that I was doing it, and like I'll always remember once when I can't. As I come round, I was talking about 10p coins. And my other half were there next to me and asking me what about the 10p coins, but then I was trying to explain it in a conscious state. Do you get what I mean? I knew I'd obviously been speaking in my dream or whatever, being asleep, woke myself up doing it, but then tried to continue the conversation because as far as I'm concerned, I was talking
you
sense.
Were actually having
I was
it.
Talking sense. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Until I got to the point where she literally said, tell me what you mean. tell me what you understand. And actually, I remember it coming out. I was just literally sat in bed and I just went, I've absolutely no idea. Absolutely no idea. But I was adamant at first that what I was saying was making sense.
Yeah.
And it's such a weird state to be in, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah.
Semi-lucid.
The mad thing is I do that while I'm away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jenna will literally be talking to me. And every now and again, I'll just respond with something that's completely unrelated to the conversation or anything. She'd be like, what are you on about? And I go, I've done it again, haven't I? And it's like I've completely gone.
Rob, you do know you do that with us as well.
Yeah. 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 And you know what? Gemma does something. She will literally scare the life out of me. She will literally wake up in the... Well, she don't wake up. All of a sudden, we'll be asleep.
I've I just want to say, I've heard a recording of this.
Yeah. And she'll go, literally it's silent, and she'll go, and I'll wake up and she'll go, right? And it'll be silent, and she'll go, right? Mojo.
I would be off.
He gets, but you're asleep, so you're like not expecting
it. Is this quite loud as well? Or
no,
just,
no, this is but, the same volume I'm doing
it. Oh, okay.
And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, so it's... and I absolutely...
I heard a recording of this. You know, if I'd not... Wow. The reason why I said I'd heard a recording of it, right, is because if I hadn't, I'd have been sat here going, oh, I think he's probably over-exaggerating a bit. Right?
Yeah.
We, people that have known Rob long enough,
we
know that it's something that he tends to do.
A bit dramatic.
Get it from me,
runs in the family.
But I've actually heard a recording of this, and everything that he's just done there, to the T, is exactly what's on that recording.
How often does she do that?
Not
she's every night when she dreams about their wedding day.
Yeah. Not very often, mate. Oh, dear.
Go on, you were going to say something.
No, go on.
Are
you.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you go.
Well, I want to hear one of Jill's songs.
That's exactly what I want to do. I don't suppose you've got a keyboard, have you?
Do you know what? I have. Here's one I prepared earlier. Yeah.
What's the chances?
What's the chances?
Fantastic. So we're going to get to hear one of your, what do you call them, ditties?
Just comedy songs.
Fantastic. Should we get this keyboard set up?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time at the bar, please.
Right, we're all set up.
Oh, I'm excited. You know, live performance.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, may we present Jo, the Yorkshire Wife.
Hey!
Thank you very much. Now, you actually think it's you four that's invited me on here. It's actually your wives, and they've asked me to teach you something. Are you ready?
Yeah,
we are, yeah.
Bouquets and blowjobs just go together like fish and chips, ant and deck, handcuffs and leather. Yes, a floral display could get you a BJ. Don't spend much, no need to be showy. A bunch from Aldi got me husband a blowy. Bouquets and blowjobs, bouquets and blowjobs. I know what you're gonna try tomorrow. Into Flora, guaranteed next day delivery. We know what you're doing tomorrow. He's going for some floral to try and get some oro. Add some chocolates and some wine. You might get your Senna 69. Bouquets and blowjobs, bouquets and blowjobs. Get romantic scatter petals all around the place. Bouquets and blowjobs, bouquets and blowjobs. Imagine the look on her face. Then you get to give her a pearl necklace. But if it doesn't work, don't blame my songs on me. I'm only going from experience, and I was happy with that bunch from Aldi.
Fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely.
More.
Another one.
All right, give us a cheer if you're over 40.
Yay!
Is it normal to feel naughty in your 40s? In my 30s, I didn't feel this way. Now I'm feeling appealing, wanna stare at the ceiling. Can this finally be the decade? My husband can't believe his luck, 'cause I'm always wanting to find some alone time. He wonders what'll happen next, 'cause I'm always desperate for celebrating our nuptials. Is it normal to feel naughty in your 40? Can you relate to this feeling at all? Quickly lock all the doors and get me on all fours. It's time to shake down these walls. My husband's saving money in the bank, 'cause he no longer has to wind me and down.
old feel naughty in your 40s.
Yay!
Absolutely amazing.
Did you enjoy that, Mark?
Please,
one more.
Yeah, have
one
you got,
more.
Can you do one more?
Right, well, here we go. Here's how to be a Yorkshire wife. How to be a Yorkshire wife. Tits, chips and gravy. Keep him happy all his life with tits, chips and gravy. Throw in a curry once in a while. Cold beers in the fridge will make him smile. Make Yorkshire puddings go the extra mile with tits, chips and gravy. How to be a Yorkshire wife. Let him watch football, golf and rugby. Keep him happy all his life. Let him watch football, golf and rugby. Throw in a World Cup once in a while. The Open and the Masters all make him smile. Let him watch Six Nations go the extra mile. Let him watch football, golf and rugby. And all we ask in return, how to keep a Yorkshire wife. Spa days, gin and Prosecco. Keep her happy all her life with Spa days, gin and Prosecco. Throw in a bouquet once in a while. Order takeaway, it'll make her smile. Book a bottomless brunch, go the extra mile with Spa days, gin and Prosecco.
Yay! Yay.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm a bit reproved. You might not have gathered already. I'm a bit reproved. How clever are them songs?
Unbelievable.
That second one is absolutely genius. How you change the rude words for some...
Rude is...
What music? There were no rude words in it at all. It's all in your head.
You could almost see Mark Spence clenching as the word was coming and it changed and amazing. Yeah. No rudies.
Absolutely fantastic. And you can see where that your inspiration's sort of... You talk about Victoria Wood and... It's like your own in your own style. Do you know what I mean? It's not copycat. But you've nailed it. It's absolutely fantastic.
Do you know what? I have seen some of your TikTok stuff, but I've not heard two of those songs.
Oh,
they're absolutely brilliant. That was pure brilliant.
I'm absolutely certain that our socials off the back of that are going to go nuts. They're going to go nuts for you. And your followers are going to go through the roof. Well, I said through the roof. We've only got four listeners. Those four people will be like, shit, that is amazing. And I know their sense of humour, the sort of stuff they're into, they're going to love you. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I've got a couple of questions. Random questions.
We'll do
a round robin with them. Okay. We'll start with you, actually.
Ooh.
If you were a pizza topping, what would you be?
Ooh, I'd absolutely be the pepperoni.
Would you?
Yeah.
Why?
Bit spicy.
Ayo.
Yeah. Everybody likes me. Yeah. And if you're vegan, I don't want to know.
What about you, Mark?
Pineapple.
Oh, straight in the bin.
You've picked mine. Because I'm sweet. That's it. Move off.
Straight in the bin.
Is that what you were going to say? Yeah.
You're sweet and you don't belong.
I was going to say sweet yet controversial. Yeah. So I was going to say pineapple.
I'm not controversial.
No, I meant for me.
I'm saying
you pinch mine.
Oh, I'm sorry. You can have pineapple though. Just add on the controversial bit to it.
No, it's gone now, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
Yep. So what are you?
Garlic sausage.
Ooh.
Moving on.
Why?
Moving on.
You just took Rob's. I'm a mushroom. Because I'm a fungi. Hey.
Yeah, and he's taking mine. I was going to say mushroom.
Was you?
Mine would have to be jalapenos, I think.
Why?
Hot and spicy.
I always jump in. That's not the jalapenos. Don't jump in, do they? I'm that thing where you go, oh yeah, and then it's a bad idea.
Chili.
Yeah.
That's the question mark, so come on.
Yeah, I've got another question. We'll go the other way, Rob.
Okay.
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Oh. The egg.
Why?
Because we are the egg out of the chicken. Yeah, I guess that's the point, isn't it?
Yeah. Kirk?
What did you say?
The egg.
The egg. Because without the egg, you don't have the chicken.
Yeah.
What laid the egg?
Chicken, my answer.
Why?
He's just rolled reversing it.
Without the chicken, you don't have the egg.
Mark?
Well, I've run out of choices. I can't say a hair girl, I can't say chicken. I'll say a dinosaur.
Yes, you were there.
Yeah. 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 There you go. That's
what came
answer.
First, the pterodactyl.
Yeah. Over to you, Mark.
It's Joe.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I've
forgotten the woman
told
in the
you
room.
A message. I'm sorry,
I thought Joe had gone home. Yeah.
You don't do yourself any favours, you mate. Yeah.
No, not at all. I'm sorry. Go on, Joe.
No, I reckon the egg as well, because I think whatever laid it was just about to be a chicken. You know, like in evolution.
Yeah.
And yes. Then
that's the answer.
Yeah,
that's the answer.
There we go.
Is it?
In my opinion, yeah.
Oh, right.
That's exactly what I
was like, oh my God.
I've found the answer to life itself.
You do not. I am God. And that is the right answer. He talks with that accent. I will change the subject a little bit then. I won't ask another question. But you know you're getting old when the ice cream van starts playing music from your childhood. And it's before your time. It's after your time, Mark. Should I say not before? The ice cream van that comes round here, guess what it plays?
Pop Black.
Nope.
Pop Black. Blue. Yeah. Eiffel 65.
No. It plays the theme tune from A-Team. Honestly, I went running out expecting beer baracas, and it's there we're 99. but with an ice cream, like, you know that really crap speaker thing that they've got that's really annoying?
Yeah. Like a megaphone.
It plays A-Team theme tune. And I'm like, that's when you're old. Because when I was a kid, they were playing like a symphony from 17th century or whatever. Right. And now they're playing like A-Team.
It were a long time ago, A-Team, now, you know. I know. It were.
It were.
Can't go back.
Speaking of A-Team, shall we spin the wheel?
Another seamless link, Rob.
Yeah, so spin the wheel.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it going to be?
Oh,
I'm just so excited.
Oh. Go on.
He's nearly there.
The Wheel of Features.
So we've got nothing to go through from last week.
No, fact, not last week, weren't it?
Great,
I did my facts. It's only fair we allow the Yorkshire Wife to spin our Wheel of Features.
Wheel of Features, yes.
Do you want to take the mantle?
Yes.
Give it a really, really good spin.
Yep. Here we go.
Ooh. What's it going to be?
What's it going to land on? Come on, Joe, give us a good one.
Bankrupt! Yours, Mark!
Kazoo's on it anyway!
I'll do it like Kurt does it. So, here's nothing to go from last week, and this is the time for Do the Kazoo song. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a song on the kazoo, and you got to guess what it is.
Okay.
I'm crap on the kazoo.
Yes, we know.
That is confirmed.
Well, apparently, we're crap at least at guessing it, but our listeners are really good.
So. I must admit, the last time we did this, and none of us had a clue what you were playing at all.
Yeah.
Right? None of us.
Clueless.
But the amount of listeners
that
knew exactly what you were playing.
Oh, wow.
Right? Even to the fact of my wife was sat there listening to the podcast and looked at me and said, "Are you three idiots?"
Which she is correct.
Absolutely. She wasn't even referring to me playing kazoo.
Yeah, she's not even stuck pressing. Yeah, not even that episode. But no, so it must be us that's rubbish. But you know what? We've got a musician here now.
Yeah.
Oh, no, pressure.
Oh, the pressure's on Mark, trust me.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah. Ice cream man's here. Hey, God. Tell you Jesus drop, Mark.
Yeah. I thought Kirk could just finish running out ill.
I'm going to go in the middle with this one because I don't know how it's, I can't remember how it starts. So. Hang on a minute.
Oh, goodness. Every time.
Changing key.
Is there a key?
I think I know it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Dear.
I think. But
really? Yeah.
So what we normally do now, Joe, is we normally all have a guess, but then we don't reveal the answer until next week. So
we could be right, but Mark won't tell us.
So, do you want to have the first guess or the last guess?
At one point, I thought, is it Barbie Girl?
Yeah, but then it's the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, don't forget the.
Are you having another dream, Rob?
I have. I'm going to hold my hands up and say I haven't got a bloody clue.
I haven't. I'm, have you honest, not? I really don't.
You said you thought you knew.
Yeah, I do, but I don't. I can't think
He's
of it.
Forgot. He's forgot. I can't.
Is that it? Shall I do another one as well?
Two.
Okay.
That's this is
but you're right. They'll all be saying, "Are you three idiots or what?"
Yeah. And maybe they will.
Yeah, well, we are, because if that's obvious, then I don't know what is. And on that note,
No. Wait. I've just thought of something.
What?
You auditioned for Britain's Got Talent, didn't you?
I did. Yes.
Have we got right to the end of the episode and not spoken about
literally,
this?
Literally, I completely forgot about it. And just as you said that, I went, "Britain's Got Talent." What happened?
I think it's because I wasn't allowed to talk about it for so long that it's like one of those things that then like comes up in conversation. A couple of years ago, once I'd started putting songs on TikTok and been on the radio and things, I got a call from the casting crew at BGT asking if I'd be interested in being put forwards to audition. And like I've kept saying, I've just been in this. Do you know what? You've got to just say yes to things, haven't you?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And give life a go. Why not? Yeah. There's nothing to stop me. So it went through the process 2 years ago. But then they decided at the last minute to move me to last year's. So to season 17 last year. And it was incredible. I had to go down to London and had an initial audition in front of the executive producers and invited audience in the Hen and Chickens bar, and it was a really sort of tiny little venue, and there were just a few of us there, and that was like a preliminary audition. Then we got to find out if we'd made it to audition in front of the judges. And I did. I got invited down to London and got to perform at the London Palladium in front of 2,000 people and in front of the judges. And they'd actually asked me to write a song about Simon Cowell. They'd heard one of my songs, The Ballad of Paul Hollywood, and they asked me to rewrite it. Or if it's all about, would you want to do this, or do you want to rewrite it? And so it became The Ballad of Simon Cowell, and I got 4 yeses.
Wow.
Yeah. Simon Cowell came on stage and gave me a hug. Which was it was just so bizarre. I got to meet Ant and Dec and got a hug from them as well. But I didn't make the semi-finals, and it didn't make the TV edit.
Oh.
So I was absolutely gutted. You didn't find out if you were going to be in any of the episodes until the Friday, and then they email you, message you, and say, you're going to be on tomorrow's episode. And each week went by and by, and I still wasn't able to talk about it. And, yeah, so it didn't make the TV edit, which was such a shame, because I wanted my children to see. It was just Ben and I down in London, and I wanted them to see what mum had been able to do.
Well, listen, their loss. Because if it weren't for that, we might not have got you on here tonight.
Yeah. Exactly, definitely.
Very much so.
So, anyway, before we go, I've just got a quick question for you. So, can you audition again for Britain's Got Talent?
He's forgot what name it's called.
X Factor.
Opportunity Knocks.
Because there were a guy that used to audition every year, weren't they? I mean, I think this guy's dead. Weren't they a guy that is dead now, but he used to audition every year, and he did it for about 10 years.
Freddie Mercury?
No. Do you know what I'm talking about?
People do go back. There was lady with the dogs, wasn't there, who said, I didn't make the final.
I
suppose I could do.
I mean, are you allowed to? Because quite complicated, this. Because it sounds like you have to have an audition.
Yeah, they have different, because they're very open about it, that as well as you applying yourself, they have their casting crew that actually headhunts people. And look for different people, comedians, magicians, singers, dancers. So it was obviously really nice to be headhunted like that.
It is.
Well, so I really don't know.
Well, I hope you apply again and I hope you get on.
Oh, yes, thank you.
And best of luck for this competition that you're in. So
thank
best
you.
Of luck.
Yes. Yes, I'll keep you updated.
I think it's fair to say, Joe, from what I've seen, the sky's the limit. Yeah. And it's honestly, it's been an absolute pleasure, hasn't it?
It has. Absolute pleasure.
And hopefully, if we keep the door unlocked and open, you'll come by again another day.
Absolutely, absolutely. Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on.
Rob, great shout.
Yeah. And on that note...
Yeah, I'm going to go order a bouquet of flowers.
See you next week, guys.
Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in the chat at gmail.com and, of course, on any of our socials. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Hello everyone, The Other Mark here. Don't forget we have got our first ever live podcast on the 29th of June at the Ball Inn in Thorpe Eslet, that is in Rotherham. It's free admission and it starts at 4 p.m.
Ish.
Enjoy the episode.